Is it working fine?
Oh, yes.
So good to see you. So good to see you. And for those of us who join us online worship, so good to see you. I love, this is one of my favorite moments during the week, to shout it out. You're at the right time, in the right place, with
the right people.
Amen, amen. Both in the sanctuary and who join online worship as well. We have a few announcements. Please prepare your communion at home, bread and wine or juice or your meal. We will have communion during the worship. And we are preparing Easter flowers. Many of you know about that. It is a resurrection hope, symbol of resurrection hope in your memory of the beloved one. So please remember that until today or tomorrow, until tomorrow early morning, you can send it to email to the office. And please check the Holy Week schedule. We will have Monday, Thursday, of course, Thursday, and Good Friday, both at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. And education team is preparing children's Easter egg hunt on Saturday, so the day before Easter, 2 p.m. And also we will have two services on Easter Sunday, 7 a.m. in the parking lot, sunrise worship, and 10 a.m. in the sanctuary. So please remember that, and you may find the information in the chime, email, or Facebook. And today, flowers on the altar, it's given by Rene Morris and Sue Cedro in their loving memory of their mom. So please, Darlene Carovin, thank you. She's here. She's our liturgist, Caroline. She will lead us our worship. So let's center our mind and worship God together.
Please stand as you are able. Reconciling God, you have always been our guide and guardian. When we pray to you in times of trouble and seek refuge in your strong embrace, you come to us with songs of rescue. When we need your wholeness and goodness, you remove our sin and reconcile us to yourself. Feed us again with your presence and grace, and reshape us into new creations in Christ. Amen. And now let us sing our opening hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, verses 1 and 4.
So we have a few people who have birthdays during the week. Tomorrow is Levi Fries and Adriana Posse's birthday. And Tuesday, Jacqueline Davy and Megan Stutsky. And Thursday, Amber Greenfield. And Saturday, Mary Downs and Dakota Hayes. Happy birthday. Not in this room. Happy birthday. Yes. So good to see you. You made my day. I mean, I asked him, hello, how do you do? My name is Pauline. So good to see you. And he said, I'm a member here. Sorry. And I remember I saw your picture. So good to have you. During the week, Wednesday is Andrew and Beth Jacob's wedding anniversary. Congratulations. I hope you have a beautiful day. During the week, we had a few technical issues with live stream and computer, with no sound, some cracking, and all the turmoil and some challenges. And our AV team and Andy and Mike Drew, they have been working so hard, and now we have a better internet and a new computer, and I hope it can deliver better live stream worship and better sound. So thank you so much. I'm so happy. Can you hear me well? I'm asking the people at home.
They said yes.
Oh, they said yes. And please remember the people we have been praying for, many people. And please continue to have them in your prayers. Carol Finnicum and Rosie. And Darlene Davis' daughter, Debbie, Jen Glover, Anna Fulmer, and Amy's nephew, Daniel McName, and Rita Blackwell, and Vicky Dunphy, and many of us. A lot of people are getting vaccine, but still, many people are struggling and suffering from the virus, and many people are fighting to save them. Please remember them as well. And in this challenging season, let us hold one another in our prayers and support. We need it. We need it. And I believe God is going to work among us. And let's come to God and pray together. Eternal God, we come before you with a mixture of feelings and a need of confession. You know us by our names, and you have been all the time with us, and you know what we have been through. As we share our joys and concerns, we lift up all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, and we lift up ourselves to you, God. We hear of the sufferings of Jesus with the people around us, yet many times we resist hardship for ourselves. We set high expectations for others but resist them for ourselves. We need you, God. We are weak when things go poorly. We are quick to speak and slow to listen. Lord, you have called us to become like you, but we are not yet there. We need you. We ask that you be patient with us and continue assisting us in crafting our souls and values. And we also ask you to extend your graciousness and love to us and our neighbors so that we may boldly walk forth in this faith journey and live one day more, every day, to become like you, Jesus. This moment, we remember the people among us and around us and around the world who really need your help. Touch their body. Touch their soul. For those who are struggling, physically struggling, God, touch their body. Touch their organs. Touch their bloodline and cells. Strengthen their immune system. And let them know you are working. And remember the people who are saving. Lord, remember each one of them by their names and be with them comfort them, strengthen them, and guide them so that they would be able to go forth and get restored. Every day we need you, God. We need you. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. Let's sing together, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded, verse 1.
With grief and shame we sow, no soul truly surrounded with all thine only crown. How pale thou art with anguish, with sorrow, views, and scorn. How does that day cease, this which once was bright as morn?
This morning's scripture is Matthew 27, verses 24 through 26. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people, as a whole, answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We make decisions every day. We do that every day from the moment we wake up in the morning until we go to bed. Then what kind of choices and decisions do you have? Do you want to jump up, get out of your bed, or ground there maybe shouting, no, saying, "Oh, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, please"? I do that all the time. Or do you want to wash your face first, or brush your teeth? Or do you want to have an egg omelet or Cheetos for breakfast? When to speak, when to listen. And these days, COVID vaccine might be a good one. Do I want to get in or not? Sometimes what we decide happens in a way we expect. And we have hope and expectancy for the future. And in our gospel reading today, we have one person who made a decision that all Christians have remembered for the past 2,000 years, Pontius Pilate. He was the governor of the Roman Empire who ruled Judah, southern Israel, including Jerusalem. And the scripture seems to claim Pontius Pilate was an innocent person, honest, I'm an honest power broker who listened to his wife, advising him to release Jesus and try not to be involved in Jewish leaders' conspiracy to put Jesus to death. But I think that is very questionable, because many historians described him differently. He was the man of inflexible disposition, and he was harsh and stubborn. And nobody could tell him what to do, and nobody has the power to force him in Israel. And he was the political leader who governed Judah as the governor in one of the strongest empires in our whole human history. So Pilate, he was in the position with extreme power where nobody had the authority over him. And he had every ounce of his power in his hand in Israel, except only one case, riot and protest. Because all his power in Israel was given by the Roman Empire. So if the Roman emperor heard the riot in Israel, he's in trouble. With that in mind, what's interesting is to compare. We can compare what Pilate asked and what Jewish people asked Jesus. So last week we talked about Jewish religious leaders asked Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah?" Because Messiah was the one whom all Israel people had been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years. Because if Jesus were the Messiah, religious leaders, they had no power. They had no authority anymore over Israel. That was the one thing the Jewish leaders, they were afraid of. Because they would lose their power if Jesus is the Messiah. Their fear made them blind. And now Pilate, he asked a different question. He asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" That's the only one thing Pilate was afraid of, because he was like the king. He was like the king of Jews in Judah, appointed by the Roman emperor. Because if Jesus were the king of the Jews, Jewish people would rise against the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire, they will decide, "Okay, Pontius, you're not working well. You're out." So Jesus would be the biggest threat to his power. So he asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And we know what Jesus said. You say so. Pilate, who had all the power over Israel, he's in trouble, because he sees both groups, Jewish religious leaders against Jesus and big crowd following Jesus. If he chooses one of them, it will happen. The other one, they would protest against the Roman Empire, so he tried to step away from the mess, from this trouble. And he was smart, and he knew Jewish people very well. Pilate, he might have thought, "I gotta do something. It's not good. It's not fair. I gotta do something. I gotta find a way out of this." Pilate, think. And he found a way to stay in his judgment seat, merciful one, in the sight from both sides. And he chose a way to let people choose what to do with Jesus. So by the Roman tradition, he named the despicable human being and let people choose which one they want to give a pardon. Condemned the criminal, Barabbas or Jesus. And he did one more thing, to step away from this situation by Jewish tradition. He knew about Jewish baptism, which both religious leaders and Jesus' followers knew. It was about the cleansing of sin. So he found the perfect way to step away from this trouble and the responsibility of Jesus' death, saying, "I am innocent. I am innocent of this man's blood. It's all yours. It's all yours." So when we pause and look at this story, many of us, we may see Pilate. He didn't have guilt, or he had nothing to do with that. And we may say, what about the crowd? They were the one who ultimately cried out to crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. They are the one who shouted his blood on them. And Pontius Pilate, he might be so afraid of them. But you know what? I don't buy that. I don't buy that argument, because it is not democracy. It is the Roman Empire. And Pilate was in the position of sole power and authority. He was the ruler. Nobody could force him. And this is the first and foremost Pilate's decision to make. He was the one who had the authority, and he was the one who finally pronounced the sentence to Jesus. And he knew what he was doing was wrong, because he washed his hands. He washed his hands. And he knew what was right to do, because he received divine revelation from his wife. His wife talked to him, "Please don't do that. He's innocent. God loves him." You know what? When I got married, my mother talked to me, "Paul, from now, you have two women. You have to listen all the time. The first one is GPS navigation. And the second is your wife. You always listen to women, not me. GPS and your wife." I think she's right. But Pilate, he didn't know that wisdom. He didn't listen to his wife. At some point, I realized Pilate is somehow just like you and me, just like us. And he was just like Apostle Paul. You know what? In Rome, the book of Romans, Apostle Paul, he writes a letter to them. He said, "I don't do what I want. Instead, I do what I hate to do." And he continues, "I want to do what is good, but I don't do the good things. What a terrible person am I?" He was struggling. And he said, "Who will save me? Who's going to save me?" The only difference between Pilate and Apostle Paul, it is Paul understands rejoice over the fact Christ. Jesus was the one who can save him and who can forgive him and who can wash him clean. And we know that grace is also given to each one of us. It is for us. And I think for many of us, making the right decision is fine. We know what is right in general. What is right and wrong by God's eyes. Simply we can ask, am I practicing and demonstrating love to the people or not? Am I hurting other people or not? But it is not always easy to practice it and make it real in our lives. That's a challenge. And let me tell you, during the week, my wife and I, we do volunteer work at KSB Hospital a couple of times a month. It takes only about an hour, so it's not a big deal. We go there sometimes, and last Wednesday morning, I checked the bulletins and the chime with Mala, our church new secretary, in the morning, and I left the church at 9:05, and I had a Bible study, disciple Bible study, at 9:30, okay? I have 25 minutes, but it's on Zoom, so as long as I have internet, I'm fine with that. So I drove to Dixon Grace, and joined the volunteer work at 11:05. Okay. When I left, I said, okay, 9:05, I have 25 minutes till the Bible study. And I was driving at 70 miles an hour. I was not speeding. It was not 90 or anyway. And there was a truck driving next to me on the way. And I think the truck driver, he didn't see me. And he drove close to my car more and more. He was not cutting the line. He almost crashed my car. Oh, boy. I was really shocked. Oh, boy. I could have been killed by the car crash. I was really, oh, boy. And it was a truck, not a small car. Oh, boy. Yes. Anyway, with my hands shaking, I was so mad and upset. And I was about to shout and yell at him, but you know what? At the moment, I was reminded of what I preached 2 weeks ago. Oh, boy. I said, be patient, forgive, and demonstrate love. Oh, boy. You know what? It is not easy to be a pastor because you remember what you said. And I believe it is not easy to be a Christian because we know what is right and wrong by God's love. And it is our choice whether we take it seriously or not, whether we practice it or not. So last week we talked about Peter denying Jesus 3 times in the courtyard, outside the courtyard. Can you believe it? He made a terrible decision. Fear forced him to deny Jesus, his friend, best friend, teacher, master, and Lord. What do you think he might have thought after denying Jesus that night? How could he leave as he ran away from the courtyard? If I were Peter, denying Jesus, I don't think that I could leave even one day or even an hour. It's horrible. I don't think I can handle it. Just like Judas, who killed himself after selling Jesus, Peter could end up killing himself. But he made the right decision, coming back to the right path on God's will and taking courage and boldly proclaiming the good news. Jesus is the Lord. And Peter's decision was way different from what Pilate made. We need to choose Peter's example. Pilate made the wrong decision of putting Jesus to death, but we understand the joy, just like Peter. The joy in Jesus Christ. And we are striving to make the right decision in Christ's love. Even when we make a wrong decision, we repent. It's all about Lent. We find the right path. Change our mind and change our action. So during the week, I want to invite you and me to think about the decisions we make every day and our discernment process. What was the decision we make? How was it like? What was the process until we make the decision? Do we have Jesus in that process? Is it that the will of God in our lives? With that in mind, we can learn from both Pilate and Peter. And we try to extend our love toward one another and follow God's will in this season. Amen. I have a picture that I want to show you, but somehow I found this picture on Facebook. You see the eagle, right? We have a group of people taking a walk in the morning, and some of them talked to me last Wednesday. They saw eagles, six eagles, at the Mississippi Park. That's amazing. You know what? In the picture, a bird is kind of bothering the eagle. But the eagle doesn't care, does not respond, or fight with the crow. It was the waste of time for the eagle. And somebody who posted on Facebook, he says, the higher the flight, the harder it is for the crow to breathe. And eventually, eagle can fly higher, and crow doesn't matter. When I think about the communion, we can have hope and promise from Jesus Christ. Whatever we have, does it bother you? Does it bother your decision-making process? Let's see Jesus, promise, and we can fly higher and higher. The something that bothers you, it's not going to go with you. And we have the promise of Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here in your name, God. And bless these elements of the Holy Communion, the bread and wine, which represent your body and your blood. God, as we received your bread and wine, your body and blood, strengthen us, give courage to us, and guide us, so that we may live, boldly live our days as your disciples. Amen. Oh. Please peel the first layer. You know what? I have chocolate here, but I don't have prepacked. So I'm going to take it from here. Please peel the first layer and take the bread as a community. And peel the second layer. As a community, let's drink it. As many people, hello, yes. As many people get vaccinated and we have our in-person worship, we have many committee meetings and team meetings, and I see we are trying to revive and revitalize our ministry, and I see God's working among us, and I'm thankful. And we find many reasons to be grateful in our lives, and all we have is given by God. Life, hope, dream, vision, gift, and so many others. With all the gratitude for God has done in our lives, this moment, let us open our heart, present ourselves, our time, and our talent, and resources before God.
O God, all that we have comes from you. Receive this offering, and with it the offering of our lives, for we return to you only what you have so graciously given. Use us for the sake of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And the closing hymn is in the little black book, I believe, number 2130, verses 1, 2, and 5, The Summons.
Will you come and follow me? I but call your name. Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I call your name? Will you care? Be the same. Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and me? Lord, your summons echoes through when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Amen. Amen. Today, it is the first day I'm in daylight saving time, and I'm so glad you made it. Maybe we may have a couple of people coming now. And I see some people, many people on Facebook as well. Somebody said, it is the day we need extra coffees. But by blessing one another, let's ask God's power and Holy Spirit dwell in us. Please join me. Go into the world, carrying the light of Christ into the darkness. Receive God's love and cares, and share that love and care with others. May you walk in the light of Christ all the days of your life.
We will follow Christ wherever he leads us.
Amen.